Let me bang.
I do let you bang.
Hey, let me bang you, Jesus, man.
Let you bang.
Let you bang.
Let you bang.
Greetings, marriage and virgins.
Go for Jesus. No, for gay Jesus, people.
Hey, I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is time once again for your favorite mixed martial arts podcast. Recording out of Los Angeles, California, it's MMA Roasted with Adam Hunter.
Who the fuck is that guy?
Hey, everybody, welcome to a brand new MMA Roasted podcast. I'm here with Cody Stamann, killing it. Huge win last week. I was super proud of you, man. I don't think I've ever seen you happier. Because you're a pretty even keel guy.
I haven't been happy in years, dude.
You were like running out of the octagon going, I'm going to party. Like, dude, that was one of the funniest things. I'm going to get so fucked up. Did you get fucked up?
I was drunk before I made it out of before I even saw the doctor, because I slammed like 3 beers and I was already dehydrated, and I just fought, and like I was like, damn, I'm sitting here just like, I haven't drank in a long time, like I'm kind of fucked up. Like,
so did somebody hand you a beer like on the way out of the arena or in the arena?
Some dude in like some like real Texan with a cowboy hat on and overalls and nothing else was like this beer, and I was like, fuck, give me that beer.
Dude, that was crazy. And you know, you beat a pro, you beat a guy who's a legend, you know, Eddie Wineland. I used to watch him in the WEC days. Like, he was just a stud. And he's a nice guy. He's like a fireman. Was it hard beating a guy like that?
Dude, it didn't, honestly, like after it was all said and done, like I felt that I didn't like, you know, like obviously it's fucking what we do, but at the same time, like there was no, like seeing him take his gloves off and seeing, you know, that like seeing the hurt in his eyes, like I felt bad for him. And you know, this sport is fucking brutal. You know what people go through mentally, physically, you know, to compete at the highest level. And like, you know, I hope that, you know, he goes out a different way, or at least I hope that when he thinks about MMA, like he's still a good thing, you know, like he liked it.
Well, he's a pretty good sport. A couple times he's lost and he was like, just don't write any jokes about me, man. I was nervous. And I was like, bro, like, what am I going to say? Like, I'm not going to make fun of you after you get knocked out, number one. And like, I remember when O'Malley beat him and he's like, I made it to the Sugar Show or something, where it was like, but you didn't, did you land a clean one, or was it just like, because it looked like you didn't even hit him as like flush.
The first shot I landed, I like jacked my thumb up, but I smoked him in the temple. Like, right, I mean, like right here, and it was a hard shot. I mean, like I felt it, you know what I mean? It wasn't clean. I mean, it landed like bone on bone, like just my freaking thumb bone sticking out, because he kind of like slipped a little bit inside, and it just like a temple shot. And I think that like just destroyed his equilibrium. And then there were a few shots in there in the freaking, you know, throwing from the hip that definitely landed with some pretty good spank. And then the knee, I felt his.
Oh yeah, dude, it was.
But I think I felt his jaw break, to be honest with you. I knew it was over. Like when he went down, like I knew that I was gonna get a finish, like just because he wasn't really even looking at me. But yeah, I don't want to fucking. I don't want him to see this and relive that.
No, man. Look, I'm sure he's been through a lot worse. Okay, than you know, he seemed like he kind of is at peace with him retiring. Hopefully, he doesn't like sign a, you know, a PFL contract or something, or become that guy that people make a name off of, you know, like, oh, I beat Eddie Wineland. Yeah, but you beat like an older version or whatever. Not to take away anything from your win, but I'm just saying, hopefully in 2 or 3 years, he doesn't go to Bellator or something, you know?
Let's be honest, like that wasn't like prime Eddie Wineland, you know what I mean? That wasn't Eddie Wineland when he was, my age.
Yeah.
He was older in the sport. But I mean, those guys are just, they're dangerous, because like, especially Wineland, you know what I mean? Like, coming out, like, I knew for a fact that I was, like, fighting for my career, fighting for my fucking job that night, you know what I mean? And, like, I was just, like, going back and forth between, like, I'm fucking knocking him out, and I was just, like, and then, like, right before I walk out, I watch his highlight reel of him just plugging motherfuckers with right hand, you know what I mean? Just six straight right hands knockout, and I was just like, all right, fuck, gotta watch. I gotta watch out for that big right hand.
Why were you watching that on the big screen?
No, so like, imagine like you're behind the curtain, right? You're just about to walk out into the arena. There's a table set up, and like you watch what people are seeing on TV. You know what I mean? It's like the live. Like you watch, so you like the last thing I saw was his highlight reel of him just knocking a bunch of dudes out. And I'm like, talk about something like you're already anxious as fuck. You know what I mean? Like you're getting ready to like.
They shouldn't do that. They shouldn't have you guys watch that.
I was like, dude, actually, this is kind of fucked up that I'm like sitting here watching this. I could watch my highlight reel and I was like, all right, cool. You know, that's kind of a shitty highlight reel. And then I watched his. I was like, fuck, that was pretty good. And they're like, 3, 2, 1, walk.
Does that happen every time or only in Texas?
Yeah, every time. There's always like a little screen, except for at the Apex. But any arena event, that shit.
I mean, I guess it's good because it warns you that this guy's still dangerous, you know? Yeah. At the same time, I could see it also like just completely breaking guys. You know, especially if he's knocking out a guy that you like look up to or something, you know, you're like, oh shit, that's what he did to that guy. I mean, what you guys should like talk to the UFC about, hey, any way you could not show the highlights before we go on, like
before I walk out there.
I had no idea they even did that. That's correct. That's like, imagine like before I go on stage, they show up a picture of me bombing or like a video of me just like no one laughing at every time. I mean, I'd be like, fuck, like that. I wouldn't want to see that.
Right before you gotta go do a show.
It's crazy. Your volume's going in and out. So yeah. So I want to make sure your volume is working. Now I always associate you with like Team Alpha Male for some reason. Did you ever train with those guys?
I did, yeah. I trained with I used to have long hair too, so like I was like a little favorite wannabe, I guess. I mean he before me, so I guess it's his thing. Yeah, I've trained out there a few times, but I just didn't gel with that team necessarily. But I like a lot of guys that train there.
When I saw that when like you fought Song Yadong, was that before you trained with them or after?
That was after I trained there. I trained there a few times. Like I did like 3 weeks here, 3 weeks there.
You trained with Team Alpha Male and then they trained the guy fighting you?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
Oh, did you take that as like a personal or?
I stayed at Faber's house and then he was like in the corner coaching against me.
Oh, come on. Did he call you and tell you that was going to happen?
That's MMA, dude. It's crazy. It's just, I mean, because like once you get to the higher levels, man, it's like there's only a handful of fucking places you end up, you know? So like everybody kind of knows everybody, you know?
But did Faber call you up and be like, hey, listen, man, I got to train Song Yadong. No, nothing personal. Like,
fuck no. No, no. I mean, we're not, him, Faber and I aren't really that close. Faber and I are more like frenemies. Like, we see each other. I'm like, hey, what's up, man? Hope you've been good. Fuck you. Kind of like we have a little thing. Like, I called him out. I was trying to fight him. I was like, let's go, you old fuck. Like, let me, like, you know, I was being a dick. And you know, he was a dick back. He's a pretty funny dude, pretty sarcastic.
He is very funny. No, he's a good dude. You call him out after you train with him?
Yeah.
Oh, after of course.
I stayed at his house.
Well, I think you're the fucking dick, man. I mean, the guy gives you his house and you call him out. I mean, I could see why he'd be annoyed.
Well, I mean, he was like poking at me, making fun of me. And then I was like, all right, motherfucker, fuck you. Let's go.
How did you do against him in sparring and training and wrestling and
I'll whoop your high favorite ass.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Because yeah. I heard it goes 100%.
Eddie Wineland, would be a tougher fight than Faber, I think.
You think you could beat him under a minute?
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
Come on. And this is from you guys training together?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. So yeah, you were.
I always thought, like, he was, because, like, when I first went out there, I was pretty young. And like he tore me up grappling, like jiu-jitsu, like choked me out a bunch of times. And then, you know, 7 years go by and like I grappled with him again and I was like, oh shit, this guy's like, he's not the animal that I remember, you know what I mean?
So he choked you out cold or did you tap?
What?
He choked you out cold or you tapped?
I tapped.
Oh, you tapped. Yeah. Got it. Yeah, your sound's still going in and out. I'm like missing some of the best shit. Here we go. So, by the way, nice house, by the way. Is that your house in Michigan?
And no, in Vegas.
So did you buy a house in Vegas?
Yeah. Yeah. I moved out here like 2 years ago.
Nice, nice, nice. And then you got the wife?
Yeah, fiance, not wife yet. Just got some things to take care of before she my wife.
Wow. Wow. What does she have to take care of?
No. We're getting married. We're getting married.
Dude, Uriah Faber is gonna see this and like hit on your girl, by the way. You know that he's gonna like so what Uriah Faber is gonna see this and then like call your girl and be like, hey, just so you know. Because I remember you came to my show and I was trying to set you up with that hot girl who's on the Ultimate Fighter now, remember?
Yeah, Katniss.
Katniss, because like she was single and I think you were single at the time, and I was trying to set you guys up, and she said she had a boyfriend. But like she still, I don't know. It seemed like she was like into you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. She was of course, you know, like I get freaking wifed up, and then you know she gyms and she, like I'm not gonna say anything.
Got it. So she hit you up, and she's like, hey, by the way,
I saw her around, and she is really attractive.
Very, very like, attractive girl. Very attractive girl. That's hilarious. Yeah, and she's also got issues too, like, so, which is great, you know. I watched The Ultimate Fighter, the first one, like her dad died of like, and her dad literally died, but she didn't know him, and he was a drug addict, and it was like, it was awful. It was like the saddest shit, and she like won her fight, and everyone was all, and then the lady didn't know what to say. They're like, the host is like, well, just know that your dad's proud of you. I'm like, which is nice, but it was like, she's like, my dad was awful. Like, it's just, it didn't really, it kind of like, missed the mark.
Why are we bringing him up?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was crazy.
That was awkward as fuck. I was like, okay.
Yeah, yeah. It was one of those things where it was like, oh man. But I like her though. I like her, and I like Juliana. Dude, I heard Juliana said some crazy shit about Amanda Nunes. I don't know if this is a real quote. So, but I read that she wrote like the only strap she's going to have is the one that she uses on her wife.
Like, use that in a skit. That's pretty funny.
No, I saw that like on like a meme, and it said that she said it. I don't know if she said it, but I was like, if she did say it, I'm like, damn, Juliana, holy shit. Like she's got a good one. Yeah. Yeah. Were you surprised when she won?
Yeah. I think everybody was pretty surprised. I mean, yeah. Like, though, that fight was so ugly, if I'm being honest. No, really. I mean, it was like the worst night possible for a girl. Like, she just didn't look like she even trained. Like, she didn't take it serious. You know what I mean? She got tired right away. And then, you know, I don't know. I think the rematch is going to be like a fucking brutal massacre, to be honest.
I hope Juliana wins. I mean, maybe she got in her head, you know?
I hope, like, she, I'm rooting for anybody from America. Like, I'm probably the only fighter on the whole roster that's just like, oh, if you're American and you're fighting someone from another country and I don't know you, like, I'm rooting for you.
Hey, man, nothing wrong with having pride in where you're from, you know? Although there are people that I would definitely root for other people against Americans.
Some guys from other countries that I know, and like they fight probably root for.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. But yeah, there are times where I'm just like, but I don't know. I mean, I hear you. I mean, like, I'll always root for Bisbing. I mean, but Bisbing's an American citizen at this point, right? I mean, he's not fighting anymore, but you know.
American.
Yeah, yeah. You consider him American, Bisbing?
Pretty much, dude.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then Hector Lombard. Yeah, you're right. I mean, I guess the guys from America that I root for are the other people in the country, ones that moved over here. Who's my favorite fighter from another country, though? That's a good question. I don't know. It's a good, very good question. So I was watching your fight with Sung Yidam, by the way, and I went back and watched a bunch of your fights, and that was a great fight. He had a guillotine on you, like a front guillotine in the first round that you survived, but it was the same one the other guy had on you. Umar, was that the same one?
No, it's like a weird like five finger choke. And I was just like, I just couldn't, the Song's really strong. I couldn't get his hands off. He was just, and so I was just like trying to show the ref, like, hey, I'm cool, dude. I'm just hanging out. Fucking dude to let go. He's just like the strongest little fucking Chinese guy in the world.
But what was that, the same one that Umar had?
No, that was it's called a ninja choke. It's like a rear naked choke. And only like really, if you have crazy long arms, it works really well. Like the crazy thing is like I grapple with all the 10th Planet guys and they all go for that stuff. And like I literally the whole time I'm grappling with them, I'm like fighting out of chokes. Like I'm really, really good at not getting choked. And like that happened. And like as soon as he slapped it on, I was instantly going out. It was so tight. And like I had no idea that like that was his move. You know what I mean? Like I kind of had some information about like, you know, how he fought, but I'd never seen him. Like he didn't have any like really like one guillotine win. I didn't really think, you know what I mean? Like you do some research on your opponent and like you have a pretty good idea like how the guy wins fights and loses fights and like kind of what to do. Like it never crossed my mind that like, that was a possibility in that fight. And then, you know, like it was like before I could even do anything, it was too late. Like I was like, I rolled over and like I was already unconscious. And I kind of like, he like adjusted it. I like woke back up and I was just like staring at the lights, just like, oh God. And then I started going out again and I was like, fuck.
Was it like the Dagestani strength that people talk about, you think, or?
I don't think he's that strong. I mean, I see him, he trains at Extreme now. I saw him freaking Tuesday, you know? So I said that, like, I want to get all my losses back. Like I meant it. Like I want him, I want Merab. I want to fight all those guys again, you know?
Did you see him and like make a face at him, or were you guys cool? Or like, is there any like resentment?
I mean, it's just like, you know, it's like this weird thing in the gym, you know, like you kind of gotta be at least like somewhat respectful. You know what I mean? Like just be a fucking decent human being. Like you'd be surprised. Like everybody thinks that like fighters, you know, after they fight, they're like mugging each other and they're like fucking apes, like walking around, you know what I mean? And really it's more like, hey, what's up, man? All right.
Yeah.
I mean, we all go through fucking hell to do this shit.
Well, you've also beaten like so many guys. I mean, you know, as an amateur, you were like, what, 19-1? Then you were like, what, 11-0? And now you're, what, 15-3 or something, or whatever you are? 20-5, even better. So, I mean, there you beat 20 guys, and you beat good guys. I mean, you beat really good guys. And the guys you lost to, like, one's the champion in Aljamain. One, you know, Merab, I think, is like the next guy in line. I don't think we'll ever fight Aljamain, but holy shit. And then this other dude, like, we don't even know how good he is, like you said, because he hasn't really been exposed. So there's not enough tape on him to really figure out, like, oh shit, like this guy's susceptible to this, you know. And then once that happens, then who knows how good he's gonna be. So all your guys, it's like you're just right there.
Yeah, I mean, I literally, like, they were asking, like, you know, do you want to, like, fight a ranked guy right away? And I was just like, dude, listen, I already know that I am top 10. You know what I mean? Like, I know that. I know that I can fucking compete with all those guys. You know, I've just made mistakes, you know, and then at this level, like, I made mistakes, whether it was, like, in training camp, focusing on one thing too much, or, like, you know, fucking up the weight cut. And that's, like...
Your brother passing away. I mean, give me a break. Didn't you fight, like, a week after that or something, or 2 weeks after that?
4 weeks. It was just, dude, and that was like, that's like, that's a mistake where it's just like, you know, I was in the worst fucking place mentally possible. You know what I mean? Like, it's the, and then I would like go out and fight, you know what I mean? Like, and I was just like, I wanted something else to focus on, you know? And like, I feel like there should have been somebody like close in my life that would have been like, dude, what are you doing? Like, why are you, you know what I mean? Like, take some time. Like, don't rush this. You know, like, you
but it's also one of those things. It's like, how do you tell someone that? Like, because you could have went out there. I mean, Jimmy Rivera, by the way, to fight after that is like, he's like the hardest guy to fight ever. I mean, he's just a fucking.
But that's the fight I'm talking about, is the Rivera fight. My brother passes, I fight, I win. And then, you know what I mean? Like when someone close to you passes away, like it's more or less like when the noise is off that it's the worst. You know what I mean? And that's when I kind of like. When I went home and I dealt with the funeral and dealt with all that stuff, that's when I got really fucking sad and depressed, and I was drinking and, you know what I mean? Just doing all the things that like I wasn't training, I wasn't doing anything. Like I was trying to like put on a face, like I was okay, but I was a fucking wreck, you know? And then like they called me up, hey, do you want to fight, you know, Jimmy Rivera? And I was just like, this is great because I have something else I can focus on besides like just fucking being so sad about what happened. And I did that. And like, it showed in the fight. Like you could tell, I just don't want to be there. You know what I mean? Like, it was just a terrible fight. And like, you know, another guy where like, I know that if I have, you know what I mean? If I do things right, or if I'm in better shape, I can like, I beat Jimmy Rivera, you know, like, but he is a tough bastard. He hits like a truck. Like he's not in the UFC anymore. So I'm not going to beg to fight Jimmy Rivera ever again. You know what I mean?
Well, he's doing bare knuckle boxing.
Well, I feel bad for the person that gets hit by that little dude. I wasn't stunned, but every time he hit me, like even in the shoulder or the arm or something, I was just like, fuck, dude, that hurt. Like, damn, what are you doing? Like, Jesus. He kicked my calf, my leg was gone. Like, kicked it, like, right, like, we're bouncing around, we're just feeling each other out, wang, kicks my leg, and I stepped on my leg, and my leg's dead, and I'm like, oh my God, like, that's one kick, like, I got to fight for 15 minutes, no, I don't have a front leg, like, this dude is mean.
Yeah, no, he's a guy that, like, I just think had, there's one fight, I think it was Jan, the fight, where he like, had him, he almost had him out, or he was winning, and then he, like, got knocked 10 seconds left, it was, like, one of those things where you're just, like, he kept losing when there was 10 seconds left. It's like whoever his fucking corner is.
4 minutes and 50 seconds of the round and then gets dropped.
Yeah. Like what the fuck? I got mad at his coaches. Like at that point, you got to be like, dude, there's 30 seconds. Pay the fuck attention. You know, it kept happening to him.
Yeah, like he won and like he would coast the last 10 seconds. And Jan is like, all right, now I'm going to kill you. You know, like Jan's a bad dude. I guess a scary little dude.
Who do you think wins, Aljo or Dillashaw?
Man. I mean, I hope Aljo wins. You know, like just because I know Aljo does shit right, you know. TJ for me, like I'm a huge TJ fan. I was like, man, this guy's like changing the sport. Like the way he fights, the switch stance stuff. He's just a killer in the cage. And then you find out, you know, he's fucking on EPO. And then inside the like the fighter realm, people are like, dude, yeah, he got caught that time, but he's been fucking juicing since he was in college, you know what I mean? And then you're just like, man, this guy's a fucking cheater, fuck him, you know what I mean? So like I'll never ever root for that dude ever again. I mean, even if, you know what I mean, the only way I'd be like is if someone followed him around, make sure he's not sticking needles in his ass still.
Do you think Henry should fight him, should fight Aljo next or TJ?
Cejudo, is he coming back to do it?
He says he's coming back. I think he's probably like kind of fat. Like he's thick. You know, I think he's got to lose about 35 pounds, 30 pounds.
Well, definitely do it. He's not a big dude. I mean, do I think he should just get an immediate title shot? Absolutely not. You know what I mean? Like the division's changed so much like since he's been there. Like I think, honestly, I think Cejudo leaving was like a strategic thing because he realized like, the guys that were coming up were fucking hardened killers. And like, he was just like,
really? I mean, he knocked out TJ in a minute though.
Yeah. But I mean, he knows that was like a shot like Wineland, you know what I mean? Like skip head and then TJ falls and can't get his balance. And then he just got teed off on. I mean, it was the same, you know, I don't know. I mean, Henry is really good. Like he's a fucking great competitor. Like, probably one of the best competitors I've ever seen, like in MMA. Like the guy knows how to win, like nothing else. I hope he doesn't come back because this is another fucking logjam in the hole.
I think with him, he had no. I think it's one of those things. He just didn't have a childhood. Like the kid grew up in the streets of LA. His dad was a crackhead. His first time he had a bed was when he was 12, and that was on the USA wrestling team. Bought him his own bed, and then he like went right to Olympic trials, won the gold. He was a four-time state champion, so you know how hard that is, in two different states. He won it two times in Colorado, I think two times in Arizona, and then he went right to UFC, MMA. So I think he just hit a point where he's just like, man, I need a life, you know, and I think that he just got burned out, you know?
I need to go lose my virginity.
Yeah, I mean, basically, the problem is I think he got the first girl that, like, the hot chick that fucked him pregnant. And then he's probably like, get me the fuck out of this house. I got to go fight again, you know?
Yeah, he's like, yeah, this isn't as cool as I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, right. Grass is always greener, especially you got a hot Brazilian girl. Oh, that's fucking drama. That's work in itself. I'm like, you know, my wife's Mexican. It's like close enough. She's like a quarter Mexican. Where did you meet your girl?
The gym, actually, of course.
At Extreme?
Yeah, no. In Michigan, she was doing like personal training with one of the girls that trained there, and of course, I shot my shot. And
nice. And now, how long you guys together for?
5 years.
Wow. So she wants a ring.
She's got one.
She got a ring, but she wants a date. You don't have a wedding date?
No.
What are you waiting for?
Honestly, like, I'm still kind of gnawing it over. Like, I think I would rather just fucking elope and then have a party and not pay a bunch of money for a fucking wedding. Everyone I talk to, like, all my friends are just like, dude, do not have a wedding. It's such a fucking waste of money. Like, as soon as it's over, you're going to be like, dude, I wish I had fucking that 30 grand I spent on this bullshit.
Dude, mine was the worst because we spent this money and my wife didn't tell me that she was the one collecting the wedding gifts. Like, so my whole wedding, I thought no one gave me a gift. So everyone's like, I love you. You're the best. I'm like, thanks, man. And I'm like, dude, not one person gave me a fucking, and I was like mad. And my wife's like, I'm like, oh. And then it was like 3 hours of the wedding. I'm like, oh, I think I, and now she still brings me up how I like ruined the wedding because of that. But I wasn't listening when she told me, you know? So yeah. But you sound good. I want to hear what you're saying, but for some reason I'm like in, out.
Is the sound messing up still?
Yeah, a little bit.
What about now?
Now it's good.
It's like sitting on the speaker. I wonder if that's like, this is like a fucking weird angle though. Like,
nice pickle, by the way.
Yeah, thank you. It's like what the girls see.
Oh God.
Have you ever seen that? That meme?
Like, yeah, what the guys see and then the hot fucking chick and the girls see. Oh God.
This is like a belly.
Like hanging there.
I don't know how my wife's not a lesbian or any woman. Like, I would never want to look. I mean,
like that angle doesn't look good on anyone. Like,
anyone. Yeah. You could be Brad Pitt. Like, unless you have a fucking 10 pack or something. And even then, you're the most vain motherfucker alive. Like,
who? Yeah, right.
It's like, who wants to fucking see that? All right, let's go over some of the fights this week, by the way. Are you excited? Are you one of those guys that watches the fights or no?
Oh, yeah. I watch all the fights.
A lot of fighters are like, no, I totally get it. By the way, Donald Cerrone replaced Bobby Green. He's now fighting Miller in a rematch.
This weekend?
At UFC 276.
Oh, that's actually sick.
Yeah, that first fight was amazing.
That's going to be a sick fight. He's looked good, man. Miller's looked really good. Like, they're like two guys that have like 50 fights, and you're like, dude, how are these guys still going? Like, what is keeping him alive? Like, what? I mean, I have 12 UFC fights, and I'm like, dude, if I make it to 20, I feel like I'm doing really good. And like, these guys have 50. Like, how's your body not just like destroyed?
The Cerrone McGregor one though bothered me, man. When he said that he's like, I wanted a way out. Conor gave me a way out, and I fucking quit. And I'm like, dude, okay, if that's true, don't tell everyone that. Now, yeah. Like that, people paid hundreds of people paid. Thousands of dollars to sit in the fucking front row,
yeah,
or to even be there to watch you fight, and for you to admit that is very troubling. You know?
Keep that shit to yourself, dude. Even if like you're in it, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, I don't know. Like that does that ever do anything for your stock? You know what I mean? Ever people that just like, oh man, I appreciate the fucking brutal honesty that you just don't like fighting anymore. It's like, and I don't know. I just, you know, some shit's just better left unsaid.
Yeah, I mean, I see it sometimes. You see a guy get pounded on, and he like turtles up, and that and he's waiting for the ref to stop it. But he doesn't tell everyone. He we know what happened. You know,
you don't have to say it. Like, you don't have to say it out loud and just reassure everyone that I definitely didn't. I wanted out of there. Like,
especially with the Cerrone fight, he said he wanted out before the fight even started.
Yeah,
you know that's even worse. The one thing if he was just getting the shit beaten out of him, and you're like, you know, I get it, man. You like, you just got. It was, you know, Cain versus Dos Santos 2 or something where the guy just, you like, stopped the fight, you know? But.
Yeah, he didn't want to be there. I've literally seen guys like in the back before a fight, like warming up, like one guy in particular, like this dude he's an absolute stud. Like he had all the talent in the world, could be fucking fighting in the UFC with me. And like one fight, he'd be like snarly, fucking ready to kill somebody, go out there, just knock a dude out. And then another fight, he'd be like stone dead, like, just you couldn't get him to do anything. You couldn't get him to talk. Like you could just tell, like he was just paralyzed by fear. He'd go in there and get hit and just fucking fall down. And I'm just like, dude, I know for a fact that you weren't hurt. No, yeah, he clipped me, and I'm like, no. No, you can fucking tell your friends that, dude. But like, be honest with me, like, dude, you didn't want to be there. Yeah, I didn't want to be there. And I'm just like, man, we got to figure this shit out, or you can't do this. You know what I mean? And it's weird, dude, because like the pressure of actually getting in a real fight is obviously something that you can only know if you've done it, you know? So like, you know, you never know. Like, you see guys in the gym and you're like, dude, this guy's a stud. And you see him in the cage and you're like, what the fuck? Like, what?
Who is this? Did the guy figure it out or no?
No, he retired very early because it was like, he's like joked about fighting again, but you know, like, honestly, like, if I'm his friend, I'd be like, dude, like, this isn't you, man. Like, be a coach, do something else. You know what I mean? Do something else related to fighting.
Vitor Belfort, I heard, was like hiding under a table before Wanderlei Silva. Yeah. And they had to get him out of the table. And then he came out, like, knocked him out in 30 seconds. If there's ever a guy who, like, you look at, like, the guys he's beaten when he's on stuff, and then him just getting the shit beaten out of him. And now that he's on stuff again, he's like,
ERT Belfort is fucking terrible, dude. Scary guy.
It's like
he has body change too. You see like the before and after USADA pictures, like with a lot of those guys too, though. You see that with a lot of those guys. You're like, man, that guy was fucking yoked. And this time he looks like he's aged 30 fucking years.
Well, what is he taking? I mean, what is he taking as far as like, they said he was taking like not, like 27 times the amount of TRT he was supposed to take. Like,
that'll get you fucking jacked, I think.
Yeah.
Imagine like, his poor wife, dude. He's probably just walking around with a fucking heart on all day, dude. It's not like just bumping into shit with his freaking dick.
Yeah. Holy shit. So this week we got Johnny Eblen versus Musasi and Bellator. You know Eblen?
No.
American top team. He's 11-0. Musasi's a guy that just, he's the guy that everyone forgets about till he fights. And then he fights and everyone like loves him again. But then they forget
dummies,
about him.
Dummies everybody. Yeah. He's, dude, he's, Musasi's so good. Like, I mean, I think he's probably one of the best in the world, really. I mean, not a guy I would bet against ever, because like when he wants to fight, dude, he puts dudes away.
Yeah, I remember what he did to Vanderford, Paige Van Zandt's husband. Yeah,
that was recent, wasn't it?
Yeah, and I like Austin a lot, but it was like, man, that was one of those things where you're just like not ready for prime time yet. I mean,
he moved up too fast.
Yeah, Leandro Higo is fighting Danny Sabatello. Do you know those guys?
I know. Yeah, I do. That's for the tournament. Those are tournament fights, right?
Yeah.
That Sabatello kid's fucking cocky as shit. I haven't seen any reason for him to be fucking talking like that. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think he's that good. Like, I don't think he's that good. Like, I think he just kind of like, he like talks himself into fucking like, I fucking murder everybody. Like, he's like, got kind of like a little bit of like a pro wrestler approach to like his shit talk. And
well, we're talking about him, right?
True. That's true. He is. I mean, yeah, he's in the Bellator tournament. He could win $1 million. So I mean, good for him. That little freaking weird fucker.
Kat Zingano is fighting Pam Sorensen. She's from Minnesota. Any thoughts on this fight?
Kat will definitely probably murder her. I think Zingano's so good, man. I think she's really good. I wish she was still in the UFC.
She was mad at Halle Berry. Remember that?
Yeah.
She pulled out of a fight, got cut from the UFC because they promised her a part in the movie, and then the producers went a different way, and then she got fucked, and it was just like, well, that's Hollywood.
Right.
Holy shit.
Oh, yeah, you're not in the UFC anymore? Yeah, we're not going to use you. It's like, fuck, dude, the poor girl. It's messed up.
That's a tough lesson. There's a guy on the card, Cody Law. You know him? He's a stud. He's an All-American guy. He's 6-0. Of course, Bellator is burying him. It's like, dude, they had that one guy, Joey, that guy who's a 4-time national champion. I think D3. He never lost in college. You know what I'm talking about, Joey?
Yeah.
And he's never, you never see him. Like, you have no idea when he fights. Bellator does the worst job of marketing their fighters.
Promoting their fights, yeah, I know.
Oh, my God.
I know, even when guys on my team are fighting, I'm like, you know, I'm trying to figure out, like, because I don't ever see anything. The only reason I know there's a fight is because they're fighting. You know what I mean? And then I can't figure out how to watch the fight. You know what I mean? And then the fucking stream cuts out. And I'm like, dude, what the fuck? You know what I mean? I'm just trying to watch. Like, you know, I'm trying to pay money to, like, watch a fight. And it's like, they make it so hard. And, like, the UFC is a complete opposite. The UFC has the best marketing team. They fucking, you know what I mean? They boost everything, like, there's 95 different ways to get a fight or watch a fight. You know, it's like polar opposites. It's like Bellator doesn't really care. And the UFC is like, just like, we're going to take over the world.
Well, I mean, you get some of these guys who are like undefeated and national champions, put them on the fucking main card.
Yeah.
Like, or at least replay their fight on the main card. You know, so like, you know, it used to be like, UFC would have a fight on the undercard, and if the fight was really good, they would play it again during the commercials, or like when it was downtime. If a fight ended early, they would show that fight.
Yeah, show highlights, shit like that. Yeah.
PFL 5 is this week. Now, were you thinking that if you hadn't lost, if you had lost to Wineland, were you like going over like, well, Bellator, PFL 1?
Dude, honestly, like, I don't want to fight anywhere with the UFC. Like, honestly, just because the UFC it's the best, you know, it's the best. It's the fucking apex of fighting. All the best guys are there, regardless of what anyone says. You know, everyone's always like, well, I'm the fucking best in the world. And I'm like, you say that, but fucking, if you were the best in the world, I would have fought you already. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, I hear dudes say that, and I'm just like, shut up, man. And no, for me, it was like win or die, dude. Honestly, like, I was like, dude, if I can't make this happen at the highest level, what the fuck am I doing? You know what I mean? Then I'm just hanging out for a paycheck. Like, I can make money doing other things. This shit's hard enough. So for me, it was literally like everything was like win or die. Like, win, I keep fighting in the UFC. I keep trying to fucking work up into the rankings, build my brand, or fuck, I don't know, dude. Start my OnlyFans.
Well, now, were you thinking about other, like, cause sometimes like I'll come home from a comedy gig and I'm like, what the fuck am I doing? I just drove fucking 19 hours. Yeah. I lost money on this fucking gig. I bombed. Right. You know, there were times I went like a month in a row. I'm sleeping in my car. I don't have enough money for the hotel. Like, just, and I'm like, man, I have a year left of college, and I'm like, okay, I'll become a gym teacher, wrestling coach. I started thinking, were you doing that too or no?
No, I mean, not now, but I mean, I've honest to God, when I was I gave myself like a deadline. I'm like, if I'm not in the UFC by when I'm 25, like, I'm done. I'm not gonna I'm going to take over the family business and I'm going to do something else. And then I turned 25 and I was like 12-1 or something. And I'm like, well, fuck, I broke my hand. And I'm like, man, I think I'm done. Like, I moved home. I started working, doing construction. And then like, I needed money, like basically just I needed fucking, you know, a down payment on a place. And like someone, like, literally I was like, man, I don't know how I'm gonna get this money. And someone called me up like, hey, do you want to fight this dude for a belt? And like, the dude was really tough. And like, I had no time. I was working fucking 60 hours a week. So I was like doing shit Rocky style, like training in my fucking backyard with my air dying and shit, like shadow boxing the air for 45 minutes straight, like getting ready for this fight. And I go out and I beat this guy. And I'm like, all right, cool. I got my money. I can get my place. And then like, hey, do you want to fight? And then it was just like all these opportunities started coming up, but I was like kind of over, you know what I mean? I was like, I was done. Like, and then they're like, do you want to fight in the UFC? And I'm like, well, fuck yeah, let's go. And that was like probably a year and a half after I decided I was done. And then, you know, and then I go and like, I'm doing really well in the UFC, and then I go fucking bomb three straight. And like, I'm having those same feelings, but I'm like, dude, but also like, I'm like, I'm not done. Like, I know I can fucking beat these guys. I fought the best guys in the world. Like, I know for a fact that I can fucking do this like long term, and I can compete with fucking anybody, you know. So I'm like going back and forth, and I'm like, dude, I'm just gonna fucking put everything into this opportunity. Like, I got one last shot. I cannot make another mistake as an athlete. Like, I have to be fucking, I gotta be perfect. And I mean, as far as like fights go, like, I didn't get hit once. I mean, so I think I was like, and it's like, man, it's like, there's every time that I needed to like step up, be a man, and go get in a fucking fist fight. It was last Saturday night, and I did it. So,
dude, it was amazing. Now, by the way, I remember when you were fighting Tarion Lehr, and Tarion's coach called me up, and he's like, "Hey, he's fighting a guy in three days or something. Yeah. Do you know any good wrestlers in town that he could train with?" And I gave him like Bubba Jenkins' number. I'm not friends with Bubba, but like, I was like, 3 days? Like, bro,
you're gonna need to learn a lot of wrestling. Dude, the thing was is like I had no idea like who Tarion Lehr was. Cause I mean, that we got the call on 5 days notice. I was fucking digging a trench, and they're like, do you wanna fight in the UFC next week? I'm like, well, yeah, but like, fucking haven't been training. Like, I'm not even, you know what I mean? I'm not even like a fighter right now. I'm like a fucking construction worker. And I'm like, well, yeah, let's fucking, you know, let's go. So I like literally left the job site, went straight to the gym, like sparred, hurt my knee. And I was like, well, fuck, I'm still fighting. And I had no idea like who he was. I like saw his record, knew he was decent, but like that whole fucking experience was just insane.
I was at that fight and it looked like you kind of got tired in the third a little bit, right? A little bit.
Oh, I was gas tired, dude. I was in terrible shape. I was in terrible shape. I had no business being in the cage, but I was like, dude, this is my moment. Like, I got to fucking make this happen. And I feel like, honestly, like, I am proud everybody fucking says stupid shit like this, but like, I feel like when I don't like have no other choice but to fucking make shit happen, like, I will, you know what I mean? And like with Tyrion, like, I just kept taking him down and fucking holding him there and just like,
yeah, that's so funny. I remember the third
just
round.
Breathing on, just heavily breathing on him. And then like, as soon as I would catch my breath, I'd let him back up and we'd fight again. Yeah. And then I take him down. Like, that's like what my sex life is like.
That's you and me both. I was like, Bree, do you have a minute? She's like, that's all you ever have is a minute. I'm like, okay, thank you.
Yeah, damn, dude. He's a comedian too.
So, dude, we started couples therapy yesterday. And right away, they were like, the lady was like, so what attracted you to each other when you first met? I thought they meant like right away. So I'm like, well, you know, she's a beautiful face. She's got, you know, big titties. Well, she didn't always have big titties, but when I met her, she had big titties. And I was like, damn. And then my wife was like, oh, he was nice and kind and generous. I'm like, can I get my answer back? Like, I didn't know. I thought they meant right away. Yeah. They meant, like, after we like actually talked, I was like,
well, he's telling me I'm attractive.
Yeah, well, that too, but I also felt like the biggest scumbag. Like, I was going for all the superficial shit, and she was, yeah, it was crazy. By the way, if your wife, you know, on our wedding, she was like, I get the registry, not me, her, and then I get the money we collect. So I was like, okay, and then it turned out the money was a lot more, and then she always brings up the fact, you kept all the money. I'm like, that was your deal. I didn't even know what a fucking registry was. Yeah, like nobody even knew what a registry was. People got me stuff to like, dude, I know you didn't pick one thing on this fucking registry. Like, I know, like,
this gave you cash.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Like, when I go to a wedding, I don't look at the registry. I never have any idea. I walk up to the fucking groom and I hand him a bill, like, or two bills. And I'm like, here, dude, fucking food was great. Thank you. Great wedding.
I still have friends that I have comic friends that showed up that didn't get me a gift. And I'm like, how? And I still, when I bring them on stage, I'm like, this next comedian didn't get me a wedding gift. Please give it up for, like, I'll fucking bring that shit up. Like, fuck that. So
yeah, be mad about it forever.
There was one comic that slept with my ex. And I was like, this next comic, you've seen him in my ex-girlfriend. Give it up for so PFL, we got Bruno Capozza versus Matthias Scheifele. Another company that doesn't like, great that they have, but do you know these guys, Matthias Scheffel and Bruno Capozza?
I do know Bruno, yeah. Matthias, I mean, if I saw him, I'd probably know who he was. I watched a lot of PFL. I think they're heavyweights, right?
The main card should be Anthony Pettis versus Stevie Ray. That should be the main, why is this the main fight, right? I mean, everyone knows Anthony Pettis. I feel like last year they kind of, they put Pettis and they put these guys into the Sharks and like they lost. And I feel like the Verdum and the Pettis, and I think it was a big wake up call. But I think PFL lost a lot of money on that because they gave these guys $1 million and they all lost in the first round and second round. I feel like they're giving them easier fights this year.
They're trying to build them up. They're trying to build them up. They thought that like, well, and I think honestly, a lot of it came down to like the athlete not taking it seriously. You know what I mean? Like, I don't give a shit. Like, the difference between the best guy in the world and the fucking 100th best guy in the world is 10%. You know what I mean? So if you got one guy that's busting his ass because it's like the opportunity of a fucking lifetime and like he's going in there to fucking die, and you have another guy that's just like, I'm here to collect a paycheck, like that shit shows in a fight. You know what I mean? Like, you got one guy that's fucking dead ass serious, one guy that fucking trained 3 days for a fight. It's like, I don't give a shit how good you were, who you beat. You know what I mean? Like, that dude's going to beat your ass every time.
Especially with signing bonuses. I think they were giving out signing bonuses, which was the worst thing they could have done. It was obviously great for the fighter, but it seemed like it didn't really lead to them really being very hungry, because everyone that got a signing bonus seemed to lose right away.
Yeah.
So yeah. Chris Wade versus Kyle Buschnak. I like Chris. Do you ever train with Chris?
No, Chris just fought my boy Lance that last fight. He's good, man. He's pretty good. He'll win that fight, I think.
And then what about Pettis versus Stevie Ray?
Pettis. I think Pettis is awake now. He's fucking ready to fight.
Then we also Bubba Jenkins is fighting Ronaldo Exon. You ever train with Bubba Jenkins?
Actually, no. Maybe I've probably rolled with him a couple times. I'd like to just straight fucking wrestle with him. I'll let him fucking throw me around a little bit. But I think Bubba Jenkins is a stud, man. I think he'll win.
And then Lance Palmer versus Shaymin Moraes. That's a good fight.
Yeah, it is a good fight. Man, I tell you what, dude. I train with Lance. Lance is like a pretty good friend of mine. Like, Lance is honestly the strongest fucking human being I've ever grappled with, done anything with. Like, that dude decides like he doesn't want you to fucking move anymore. Like, and I think I'm like a pretty strong dude. Like, Lance is just a different freaking animal. Like, that dude, he's got these crazy long arms and he's just so fucking strong. Like, I mean, Lance gets this dude on the ground. Lance gets anybody on the ground, really. It's over. You know what I mean? Like, and so I definitely think he can take.
So what's been going on with him? How come he hasn't been winning, you think?
I mean, that last fight against Chris Wade, he shot one time, got a takedown. You know what I mean? And then he didn't really try to like secure the takedown. Wade gets up and he tries to just fight him on his feet the whole time. Like, that's not Lance's game. Like, Lance has got a big overhand. And, like, once he grabs a hold of you, like, you're fucked. You know, like, if he can lock his hands on any part of your body, like, it's over. You know what I mean? Like, you're going for a ride. Like, he's going to single, double, like, body lock. Like, he's an animal in those positions. You know, I don't know. I just think he just didn't fight his fight, you know. And I think he knows that. And, like, going into this one, I really think he's going to freaking take him down and just absolutely maul him.
You think it was a $2 million? Did that kind of spoil him?
I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, I still see him in the gym. I still see him training hard. It's hard to say, like, mentally. It's like, you know, it's tough. Like, well, what do you, like, I can't really say, like, I'm not in his head. I don't know what, you know, what he's thinking going in there. Like, you know, what his motives are. I think Lance still wants to fight. You know what I mean? He still wants to compete at the highest level. So, I mean, I think, like, chips are down. I think Lance makes shit happen this fight.
Good. I like Lance too. Now, by the way, I want to thank you for coming. We got Joaquin Buckley on. You guys know each other?
Yeah.
You guys?
Yeah, man. What up, Cody?
What's up, dog? How are you, man?
Yeah, man. We out there. We made history that night, baby.
Yeah, we did. We did. That was a good night, dude.
Yep. You guys both got bonuses, right? You guys both got bonuses?
Yeah.
Oh, everybody with a finish got a bonus.
Wow. Yeah.
We tied an event from 2000 with the knockouts, but then we killed it with Kevin Holland when he got that last submission finish. So the most finishes on an event card ever.
Now, what's up with you and Kevin Holland? Because you've been saying you think he's like fake. You know the real him.
I know the real him. Y'all. But you can't talk about these the crackhead superhero, you know what I'm saying? Like, I gotta leave him alone, man. He's been doing good stuff lately.
Does he have a police scanner or something? And he's going, like, how does he find wherever he goes, a crime happens? And
he pop up right there like Batman. He pop up just like Batman. You ever seen the movie Blank Man?
Yeah, but how is he?
I'm a crime finder. Every time I see that movie, man, I think of Kevin, bro. I ain't gonna lie to you.
I mean, it's great what he's doing, but he's like always in a place where some shit's going down. It's crazy.
Yeah, man, but you know, that's Kevin Holland, man. He ain't scared of situations of controversy, man. I give him that, you know what I mean? He ain't no punk. Yeah. So, you know, he likes situations like that. I ain't mad at him.
Well, your fight was amazing, by the way. You fought a real, real tough guy. By the way, Cody, I just want to say thanks for coming on the show, man.
Of course. Yeah, I got to go pack. I got to jump on a plane, so.
All right. Well,
all right, Cody, mine.
Safe travels, man. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. There you go.
So, dude, by the way, so, yeah, your fight was incredible, man. I think that was
Appreciate it. Everyone
kept saying that's the best you look. You think that was the best you look?
Nah. No, I got way more talents than people haven't even seen yet, you know, because I only fought one type of weight, you know, and that was standing up. You know, I didn't go for any offensive takedowns. I didn't do any extra little special, you know, karate moves.
Yeah.
I did one attempt, but other than that, man, I got a lot more to show. I got a lot more to show.
You came to my first comedy taping. It was an honor to have you in the crowd. You were so funny. And I asked you from the stage, I asked your coaches if they taught you that move. And they said you made it up when the guy catches you. Have you ever done that in practice before, ever?
So I never attempted it on the person. I always used to work it on the bag, you know. So I seen Raymond Daniels pull the move off, you know. I was like, man, that's pretty dope, you know. So I used to, you know, just working out off the bag. And the way I used to snap the bag and make it bend, like it's a heavy bag, it's a thick, heavy bag. And the way I would, like, turn my whole body into the bag would literally bend, you know what I mean, where I put a dent into it. And I'm like, man, that's a powerful move, man. If I maybe pull this off, man, I know I'm going to hurt somebody. But, I mean, that was years of me training that just off the bag. Years of me just training that off the bag. And eventually when I fought Impa Kasagana and he grabbed my foot a couple times and then I seen the adaptation where I was like, okay, he keep doing that. If he do it again, I see the opportunity to do it. I just pulled off the move, you know. So
I mean, you made him like, I mean, I felt bad because I like that guy a lot. But he like got
I love him, man. Impa good folks, man.
Like he like found, like he started praying when he woke up. Like that, he started. He was like, "God loves you," and it was like, it was beautiful. But it was like, it was. I never saw anyone react to that.
I ain't got nothing but respect for Impa Kasagana, because the only reason why I was able to pull that off because he had heart and he was still willing to, you know, come forward and fight. You know, like Abu Duraev, I tried to pull off the move, but he kept running. You know what I mean? Like, well, no, you know, he didn't want to run right into that.
Who's gonna stand there and let you do that? I mean, it got.
I'm just saying, man, be a man about it. You know what I'm saying?
A man? Are you out of your mind? That's like every time Masvidal fights somebody, he goes to that flying knee, and everyone's No one's like, except for.
I'm like, maybe you can take it. I don't know. You know what I'm saying? Maybe that move ain't as powerful as people think.
No, fuck that.
That's your chance.
That got 18 million hits, and then it was Kanye West put it on his video or something.
Yeah, something like that. I don't even think he had a video. I think it was the video itself, and then he made a song around the video. That makes sense.
Did he call you and ask you?
Nah, what are you asking me for?
I mean, did he like your permission, or did he say, "Hey man, it's okay if I use this clip"? Or
you think I own that clip?
You're right. He's gotta call you. Own that kick? Right. You gotta call you. But isn't it your image?
Yeah, tripping.
Isn't it right? He doesn't call you. He calls it
UFC own that too. You know, ain't nothing wrong with that. I know what I signed.
Right. but if you're on the cover of EA Sports or the video game, don't you have to make the money? Wouldn't that?
I have no clue. I'm not in the game yet. That'd be actually dope, man, if I could get in the new video game that they have. You
and
know,
you could do that move.
Yep. I feel like that special move should only be like for me. You know what I'm saying? Can't nobody else. Like, I see other people like doing, like, nah, but they can't do that. They can't do that. You know what I'm saying? So.
I watched that 100 times. I watched that move like I couldn't believe it. I was like, we are in like the next level of fighting. That was insane.
I appreciate that.
That was insane. But I also was like, I told you from the stage, I said, listen, you won with that. And not that I get to listen, man, but I was worried that you were gonna like try to like do like beat your next move by like your next fight, try something even crazier or. Cause sometimes like you like that attention, you like this and that, and then you're just going for those like highlight reel moves.
No, man, it's for me, I fight, that's just my fighting nature. You know, my fights are interesting. I mean, I looked up to some of the best like aggressive fighters on the planet, like Mike Tyson, Melvin Manoff, you know what I'm saying? Who's another great, Rampage, you know what I mean? These guys are highlight fighters. They don't go out there to try to, you know, make something happen. They just go out there and fight and something happens.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So I'm the same type of way. Anytime I go out there, he's just, you know, I just need somebody that's willing to dance and to put that pressure, you know, so I can do what I need to do to him.
I saw that you were training with a guy. It's funny, this guy came to my show for Gerald Harris. Gerald and me did a show together. And this guy, Nick, and they called him the L Strangler. The Strangler, he's a wrestler.
Yeah. Nick
and I
was,
made
yeah,
fun
yeah.
of him and all his friends. I called him like the boy band that never made it, the No Pussy Posse, No Direction. Meanwhile, the guy after the show tells me he beat Henry Cejudo in wrestling. And I look him up. He was like the most dangerous, like they had to change the rules in wrestling because he kept choking him out with a front headlock.
And now
he's your coach?
Yeah, now he's my coach. He's my wrestling coach. Him and his brother, Andy Simmons. From Saw Academy. Yeah. So I've been blessed to be in a situation where I have such a high level, you know, individuals who are the best in their fields and showing me certain things that can make me a very dangerous fighter just overall. Because like I said, y'all seen the defense. Yeah, I haven't seen The Office. You know what I mean? So it's going to be real nice to go back out there and really just show the levels of my game and what I'm doing. But it's the team. It's the team that's been developing my skills and just harnessing me to be the probably most deadliest fighter in the UFC right now.
I feel like everyone was expecting you to get tired because the way you look, someone looks like you, yeah. The first thing people say, oh, yeah, but it's
bad. Hey, like my boy C.T. Fletcher say, man, if you was born with these muscles, you would die with these muscles, and you would be able to move with these muscles. So, you know what I mean? I didn't have these muscles all my life, you know, so, you know, I just trained them to endure and have cardio. So muscle endurance, you know, is our main focus all the time. Kamaru Usman is probably one of a great example of just how he's built. But he has probably one of the best conditions on the planet, you know, and I'm right there behind
him. No, did Nick and those wrestlers guys, did they help you kind of pace yourself?
Well, Andy ain't got no pace. Like he he just goes hard 120% all the time. So for me to try to catch up with him was very difficult. But that training in itself was good for me to build up my conditioning. But a lot of things that we was doing, I was doing with my coach, Justin Hardy, who's my conditioning coach. And he just pretty much just had us doing real explosive and very high active movements, you know what I mean? And to try to sustain the same time or beat the time, you know, that we was doing. So it was a hard camp, man, you know, getting my conditioning the way it is right now. But you talking about, you know.
I was so happy for you. Bro. Like I was like, because you were so nice at the comedy show. I mean, I was making fun of you and making all and you were such a.
Oh no, no, you were making fun of me. You making fun of Mike.
I was making fun
Mike,
of all your.
You making fun of.
Yeah, I was making fun of all your friends, your coaches. But you were such a good dude about it, like and like something very warm about it. And then when like James Krause said that like you were uncoachable, I was like, maybe I'm seeing something different, like.
Nah, you ain't saying nothing different. You know, the truth always comes out over time. You know, all the things that he was saying about me, it wasn't coming from him personally. It was coming from people that, you know, that I knew from St. Louis that was training with him. And then that's what they were saying. And he was just going off the strength of saying it. So he had, you know, a lot of false confidence and false information being sprayed to him. But it is what it is. It makes you look bad, not me. So at the end of the day.
So they said that you were like prank calling the gym. Were you prank calling the gym or putting?
Did I prank? I don't think I did that yet. I think I had an idea doing that.
So then I saw you post on Twitter that you were looking for.
You know, I would have posted that. Like, if I would have did that, I would definitely would have posted it. That's a good idea, though.
Saying that you were looking for a trainer, a training partner, and you're going to give them $1,000. But it could be anybody. Who showed up? Who showed up to this? Anyone show up to this?
No, nobody. He said I wasn't giving enough. $1,000 wasn't enough, I guess. I tried to get, I think one person commented, or he re-tagged. What's that fool name? I know his name. Wilson, Sean Wilson. He trains with Glory sometimes. But he was like, you know, if you had training partners, you wouldn't have to do all this blase and all this stuff, whatever. And, you know, just being a, you know, asshole about it. But I was just telling him, I was like, hey, bro, if you need some extra money, just let me know. Now, hey, this can come right in your pocket, bro. We can get some work in, you know. But he ain't had no comment for it, you know. But my thing is, you know, a lot of boxers do that, you know. I feel like a lot of MMA guys, they don't take the time to actually train with different bodies. Because my thing, I'm willing to pay guys for good work. You know, I'm not trying to really knock you out. I'm not really trying to do that. But instead of actually going hard with my guys that I love and I train with every day, why not get some guys that, you know, stylistically matches up with me that's also going to give me good work? You know what I'm saying?
What if you get
so
these
it's still training,
though,
right? But it's at a higher level.
What if you get these psychos that go for, like, you know, try to heel hooks or something or just or whatever. They just trying to hurt you or don't know what they're doing or they spaz out or somebody has a heart attack or
you have a heart attack. Well, you got to have people that's professional and right. That know. You know, like it's certain things that, you know what I mean? Like, hey, I'm gonna get you, but like, if you're not tapping, I'm like, all right, bro, it's cool. You know what I'm saying? Or whatever. But you just gotta have smart people that you're working with. But like I said, people just don't know how to be professional with it, you know? But my thing is, the way I fight is I had to train that way too. Now, I'm still dialing it down, but I still have a somewhat of aggression towards my training, you know? And I'd rather do that with somebody outside of who I train with than somebody I train with all the time, you know? Because like I said, boxers do it all the time.
Sean,
you know, I don't know what's
I feel like he would have been perfect.
Yeah, Sean Strickland does it. You know, he didn't. He ain't sparred with me when I came down to experience too. But that's okay.
Really?
That's okay.
Did you?
Yeah, I raised my hand. I say that I raised my hand and I ain't get my rounds.
He said no. Said no.
I ain't saying he said no, but I raised my hand.
Okay, so
I
he said, picked. I want to spar with somebody. You look, raise your hand.
Look, I raised my hand and I ain't get picked. That's all I'm saying.
Wow. How many other people raised their hand?
To who? With spar me?
Yeah.
I sparred Chris Curtis. I sparred Abu Duayev, obviously. I sparred this another Russian cat. I know his name. I know he's an African dude. Dang, hella tall. He fight for PFL. You might know. Do you know who I'm talking about?
Oh,
he fight for Extreme Couture.
Yeah. I think I do know who that is, by the way. But the guy that you beat, the last guy you beat, before that, everyone was afraid to fight this guy because they said he hits like a truck. That he's just the guy you just mentioned.
Who I just mentioned?
No, the Abu guy. Yeah. Now.
Yeah. What about?
You walk through his punches. Like, everyone kept saying this guy was the strongest.
Who is everyone? I'm just
everyone
curious.
On the internet, everyone that fought him. Every time he punched somebody, they seemed to go down. The guy was like, people were scared of this dude. You
I don't know why. No, well, I seen him train. And that's the thing. That's what's crazy. We only trained one time. Like, I was only out there for, like, probably 5 days. You know what I'm saying? And I trained with them about three days or 4 days, and I only trained with Albert one time. Now, like I said, he took me down. He held me down there, but he ain't do nothing. He ain't like he beat me up ground and pound, or he submitted me. He just held me there. So when it was time to spar, I was like, all right, Albert, let's go. And he used all the space in that goddamn mat that we was on the mat area, because it's like we was in a pub. We wasn't in the cage, right. But we was in a public area where everybody spars, and he used all that. All that, man. He running over people. You know what I'm saying? He tripping over both his feet, you know? So I'm just wondering, like, I'm flashing back. I'm like, what giving this man so much confidence that he's just going to go down there and just take me down and just beat my ass? Because even if you do take me down, you just going to hold me there.
Right.
And waste the clock, you know? But it is what it is, though. You know what I'm saying? You know, people tell themselves a lot of things to build up that false confidence. But a lot of people gave me my props for beating him, but they don't realize, like, that's not my best showing, you know? I really wanted to put it on him so much where his lights just go to sleep, you know? But instead, I would have done it in the third round. But he quit. I'm not going to call that a doctor stoppage, because he could have continued that fight, but he chose not to, and then they brought the doctor in.
Got it. Well, I mean, that guy's a monster. And both you guys are monsters. I was just like,
Nah. It was only one monster that night. I'm sorry.
Nah, you know what I'm saying?
But it is what it is.
You had a tough go, man. You grew up, dad wasn't around. Did your dad come back at all, or you didn't see him at all?
I'm sorry, say it again.
When you grew up, your pops wasn't around, your dad. Did he come back at all? Did he come back later?
My man called dead and gone, dead and gone. Yeah, man, my pop's gone, big fella. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, he ain't coming back no time soon. But was he in my life as much? Nah, not at all. But after my mom passed away, that's when he came into my life a little bit afterwards. But unfortunately, shortly later, you know what I'm saying, he passed away from an overdose, you know.
Oh man.
Yeah.
Sorry to hear that. But
it is what it is. But I had a good, you know, foundation with my grandparents. So I had all my grandparents. I didn't have my parents, but I had their parents. You know what I mean?
Were they strict on you or no?
My grandmother. I wouldn't say she was strict. You know what I mean? She was just realized whatever decision I make, I gotta live by. You know what I mean? So you know, I love that she let me make my own decisions and my own choices. So you know, she was never strict, man. She always was open minded. My grandmother.
In high school, you joined the wrestling team. Were you any good?
Hell no, I was trash. I was straight booty. Only had double legs, man. Only blast doubles, and those were decent. But I had the mentality, though. I had good mindset that, you know what I mean, I always wanted to get better, you know. And I think just over time, as I got older, you know what I mean, that mindset just got stronger.
Did you make it to the state championship, or did you make?
Yeah, I made it to state. I ain't get nothing. They surprised I made it there though.
But you made it there.
They were surprised I made it there though.
Were any colleges looking at you?
Huh?
or any
some community college. Yeah, I had a couple of colleges looking at me, man. But I was like, man, I'm done with school, man. That's how I was done, bro. So I went straight. I went straight into MMA.
Straight into it.
Yep. Signed up.
Any other job?
Yeah. I had a job, but at the same time, though, before I get into that, though, I looked up a gym on Google, and the first gym I looked up was Finney's MMA. You know what I'm saying? And once I did that, I went straight into it. But my job, once I got out of high school, was Subway. That was my first job.
You worked at Subway?
Making sandwiches. Yeah, making sandwiches. Wow. Actually, I wasn't even smart because we did these tests before Subway, and I was so dumb that I couldn't even make the sandwiches. I was actually on the dishwasher.
You couldn't even get to the sandwiches? Did you ever get promoted to the sandwiches or no?
Yeah, bro. I got promoted eventually. I got promoted up to the sandwiches. You know what I'm saying? And that was a good day too. We celebrated that day.
Wow. Were any hot
chicks? We're moving on up in the world.
Did any hot chicks ever come in like, hey, I want a foot long? And you're like, I'll give you that.
Man, I had the most raggedy girls coming to the store all the time. But I had this one old lady. She was always eyeing me, boy. She'd leave me a tip too. She'd leave me a little tip in the box. I'm like, all right. Just might give it to you. You know, I was a demon back in the day, boy. Before I was new man, so when I was a young buck, boy, I was a demon.
So back with young buck, you're working at Subway, you're training in MMA, you go to an MMA gym, learning jiu-jitsu.
Yeah, so we had that. We had all of that. So Finney's MMA had the kickboxing, it had the regular boxing, and it had the wrestling, it had the jiu-jitsu. The only thing that was actually good about the gym was the jiu-jitsu. Everything else was kind of like novice, like, you know, decent. Because like kickboxing was more like cardio for, you know what I'm saying, soccer moms and just your regular, you know, average Joes. But the jiu-jitsu was legit because I was training under Ezra Lennon at the time. And I was trash at that too. You know what I mean? Like jiu-jitsu, I was getting tapped out every day. You know what I mean? To the point where I started just recognizing all the submissions I was getting into. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I built my base with them, and I was with Finney's MMA for at least 6-7 years. Actually, 7 years I was with them. You know,
living with your grandma, you're working at Subway. You're not making money. You're getting pussy or no? Probably not, right?
Huh?
A little bit of girls.
I ain't never struggling in that department. Now,
okay.
Now it might not been the best, but I'll get it. But I got a good girl though, man. This when I was wilding out. I had a good girl who was always around me. She's my high school sweetheart, and she's been with me for the longest, you know. So she blessed me with a child in Isaiah, my son. And, you know, she stuck with me through all the bullshit, bro, through all the bullshit, man. And she stayed there. And, you know what I mean? Now she with me. And now she with me at the highest point of my life. You know, that's so amazing. I'm blessed to have her.
And that's good. A lot of people.
I was a player back in the day.
Well, a lot of fighters get to where you are and then leave the person that got them with. So that's
shout out to Kevin Holland. That's the only thing I feel like Kim was foul about, man. Come on now.
So
why you leave a girl like that, bro?
So at what point were you able to kind of afford your own place?
What do you mean afford my own place?
Like you're working at Subway, so you're making $12 an hour. Like
I ain't got no. I got what you're saying. Nah, bro, I was living with my granny the whole time. What you mean?
So your first couple.
I still ain't moved. What you mean? I'm still at granny house, bro.
Oh, come on.
Hey, so, y'all come on my ass.
So your first bro, couple
my,
fights.
Yeah, I love my granny. I ain't going nowhere.
So you're living with your kid at your grandma's?
Yeah.
Your grandma taking care of you and your kid?
So real story is, but at the same time, I've been saying, So I moved out on my own, but that was only for like a year, 2 years.
Yeah.
I couldn't make it. I think I was like, 22, 23 years old. Couldn't make it. I said, Granny, I got to come back to the house. You know what I'm saying? Go back into the house, you know, and things are still rough for me. You know, I was fighting with Bellator, doing all my little things, but you know, fights was getting stretched out, you know, so money was still kind of, you know, fugazi and all that because I wasn't spending my money right. You know what I mean? I was doing other stuff. But, you know, as time goes on and I'm still training, unfortunately, my granny got diagnosed with ALS, you know, and it was a sad situation because it's a nervous system disease that, you know, pretty much shuts down everything. So your brain can't go, you know, to the receptors of your movement, whether you're trying to move your hand, You know, you try to move your neck, like it takes a while for those receptors to reach the brain. But regardless though, I started taking care of my granny instead of her taking care of me, you know? So right. I couldn't, you know, move out. But other than that though, I was going to be there regardless though, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, I love granny. I love granny, bro. I wasn't going nowhere. No way.
So now you also have a son, right?
Isaiah. Yeah.
You have a son at this point in your life?
Yeah, currently, yeah.
No, not now. I'm saying,
you know, I just can't do a magic baby, just a make-believe
No,
baby.
I'm saying you got your grandma, you're taking care of your grandma, you got your son,
yeah.
Your baby mama's living with you.
Oh, you trying to put some times on stuff, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, my grandmother was diagnosed back in 2017.
And at that time, you're living with your grandma and
your baby mama. So 2017, she was diagnosed. My girl was staying on with her parents the time. I was taking care of my grandmother, and you know, we was living life, whatever.
Who's taking care of Isaiah?
Isaiah doesn't come around until 2020.
Oh, okay, that makes sense.
Yeah. Okay. Still, for these years, I was training. I was taking care of my grandmother, and as well, just trying to figure things out with my life. You know what I mean?
And then Bellator puts you up against Logan Storley.
Bellator that was back in 2017.
Puts you against an NCAA 4-time All-American. You're like 7-0, so he holds you down for 3 rounds, right? At that point,
he held me down for 3 rounds.
Yeah, you know? At that point, are you beyond frustrated?
Be honest, it was a good thing. It prepared me. It prepared me for Albert Duryea. It was a reminder. You know what I'm saying? So I'm glad that happened. That I lost Logan Storley in that, but it was very frustrating, man. But after that fight, I didn't get mad about it. I went to go train with the best wrestler in Jaden Cox after that fight.
Oh my gosh.
I actually reached out to him. It was a crazy story. Actually, crazy story about it. A guy that I still work with right now, named Alex Atul. He works all my like social media, do my videos on YouTube and stuff like that. And after we lost that fight, man, we just downtown upset. Then the mom, I'm like, bro, if I would have won that fight, bro, I would have been, you know what I'm saying, on the top tier of the Bellator and all this other stuff. And I was just like, man, next time I'm gonna train with some of the best people in wrestling and box, I don't care who they is. And then when I started naming off wrestlers, I'm like, I'll be Jordan Barrows, I'll be Jaden Cox, I'll be blah. And then he said, hold up, who? I was like, Jaden Cox, he don't know who that is. I was like, man, he's just one of the best wrestlers on the planet, whatever, but I beat his ass though. And he was just like, no, my cousin dates Jaden Cox. And what? And he was like, yeah, like, you want me to give her a call? And I was like, yeah, bro, definitely give her a call. He gives her a call. She picks up, like, what's up, cuz? What you need? He was like, you still dating Jay? She was like, yeah, he's right here and whatnot. And he was like, yeah, I got a fighter here. And he said he'll love to train with Jay. And he picks up the phone. And he was like, what's up? And we had that conversation and we talked about it. And then a week later, I was training with Jaden Cox for a whole week.
What was that like?
That was crazy. And talk about, like, somebody's worth ethic. That boy worked like crazy, you know? And like I said, just seeing that, right? I got a good influence on what greatness was and how to become great because I was just doing fight night. You know, I was talented, but I wasn't really working to my fullest potential at the time. And to see what he was doing and how he was doing it, you know what I mean? Put myself in perspective of what I need to be doing for
John
my
Jones.
Career.
Is it a video of him and John Jones wrestling?
Yeah.
Oh, dope, my right? God. Right.
Yeah,
I mean,
right.
John Jones is like amazing. And he's playing with him like a child.
Playing with him, you know.
Was that
what I'm
how
saying?
You
and that's real.
You guys go live, you and him wrestling?
Hell yeah, we went live.
What happened?
Then I took him down.
No, you.
Nah, but I remember. So look. So this is the funny thing. So we did this one workout, and we was working out with kids too at the Ironman down in Missouri in Columbia. But it was a lot of kids there. I mean, I'm talking about it ranges from like 10 all the way up to like, you know, 16, 17, whatever. So these babies to me, I'm like, man, these little punk kids, man, I beat up on them. Well, when I talk to them, they ragged on me. They put me in splay. And they trying to be funny. They put me in splay, bro. I'm like, bro.
No, not
I'm like, yeah, bro. I'm glad none of that stuff was recorded. But that stuff definitely would have been coming back. You hear me? But
is that
yeah,
when you
I'm
were like, I got to learn karate? At that point, where you're like,
at that point, I was like, yeah, I'm going to put these the feet into motion on this one. But when I was doing all this, though, we had one workout where all the kids, I think in between, we had to get 50 takedowns, I think. And for me, if anybody take me down, they still count it. But for Jaden, if they take him down, he has to start all the way back over. You know what I'm saying? So,
oh my God,
we keep going through this motion. So I go first. And I mean, like, I was doing good, you know what I'm saying, for the first 25, whatever. But then I'm just like, ah. And so it's just going back and forth with me and the kids. But with Jaden, though, right, I'm like, all right, hopefully he going to get tired because I'm going to hop in on him as well. And he get to, sir, actually, it wasn't even 50. My bad. It was 100. And he get to, like, to 75. And I see him kind of slowing down. Like, it's hard. I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm going to get him. I shoot on Jaden, right? And I'm so deep on his hips. And I don't care who you is on this planet. I'm like, if I'm on your hips and I run you down, I'm taking you down. So I'm like, bang. And I'm about to run him. He do a cartwheel. And I ain't never seen this before. He did a cartwheel over my head, bro. And I'm like, looking like where he go. And he end up behind me and he throws me. Nick, I'm like, look, I just got up and left.
You think you left?
I just left. I was like, I'm done. Thank you for all the work.
Oh my God. Wait, you went home?
I went home. I walked home. I was in Columbia. I live in St. Louis. I walked home. I said, man, forget this though, man. Just training with somebody like that, man, just really opened my eyes on what I was lacking in, you know what I mean? And that was just a work ethic, you know what I mean? Putting that work in. Like, I put in work, but I could have put in more, you know?
He's a really good singer, too. You know that, right? He is. He sang at the wrestling at the NCAA.
I don't care where he sang. That boy can't sing. But regardless, though, one of the greatest.
Have you heard him sing?
I heard him. Right.
You think Tyron's a good rapper?
What'd you say?
You think Woodley's a good rapper? Tyron Woodley?
Damn, man, why you gotta have me shoot my people down, bro?
He's St. Louis.
He better than me. He better than me. I did. He better than me.
He's a lot better than me too. Yeah. He's a great guy. Tyron's a great guy.
He good folks.
It broke my heart when he lost Jake Paul. Like, I'm still depressed about that. That was the craziest.
Why were you depressed about it?
I just didn't want to see him get knocked out like that. Like, that's Tyron.
I feel you, but he woke up and he ain't had that hard of a headache because he woke up to a whole bag.
Yeah.
That boy made like $2-3 million that night.
Yeah, that's true. Now, who do you think is going to win? You think is going to win?
Getting money like that make getting knocked out a little easy. I'd be knocked out for less. So I know. If I wake up y'all tell, hey, man, you just won $2.3 million, I'd be like, all right, I'm good.
But you were surprised, though, right? Well, I mean, weren't you surprised? Didn't you think he was going to win, Tyron?
I was surprised leading up to the fight, but as I'm seeing Jake Paul fight, I was like, oh, okay. He been working on some stuff because Tyron was doing, unfortunately, some negative things, like where he was dropping his lead hand, like he was showing the faint. I'm like, man, he gonna get caught. We already had caught it. And by the time, you know, Jake pulled that trigger, and you know, that happened. So, but Jake good though, you know.
I'm
curious. You know what I mean?
August 6th, he's fighting Tommy Fury at Madison Square Garden.
I'm going with you. On my mom, I'm going with Jake, bro. With Jake, bro. Yeah, I seen Tyson Fury train and Bob, he not his brother, you know.
But don't you think But aren't they gonna get him ready? You think his brother's gonna get him ready though? No, they're not gonna.
But it's not about who you got. It's about the individual. I don't think. And Jake Paul didn't put him out there a couple times. He's like, bro, you damn near pulled out my fight 2 times because he pulled out and then they rescheduled or they pushed it back or whatever. And now he said I'm ready. And that's mental, bro. You know what I'm saying? Because no matter what's going on, we all got nicks and nags, man. I had my ankle was messed up before I got in the fight with Albert Wright, you know?
Yeah.
I ain't gonna, you know what I'm saying? Like, I knew that was a hindrance, but I'm not finna, like, just because if I do that, he's scared. And just because of that, I can't do that. Nope. I'd rather break this foot on top of his head. You know what I mean? So that's my biggest thing. You know what I'm saying? So, like, you can't just be pulling out fights like that, you know? And he did it damn near twice. So I think he's a little nervous about Jake Paul, man.
Leon Edwards versus Usman, who wins?
That's a hard one, bro. You know, because Kamaru, he's changed and he's getting away from what he knows best. And that's what beat Leon. And Leon, he has upgraded his skill set and his tools, you know what I mean? So it all depends on how Kamaru comes out in this fight. Does he fight him the same way he fought him last time? Or does he stand up and bang thinking he a knockout artist? You know what I'm saying? And Leon Edwards, he just got to use what he, you know, improved now. with his stand up and see if he can use that wrestling defense if he put them hands on Kamaru Usman and remind him that that wrestling is world class.
Colby, you think Colby has brain damage against Masvidal? He says he got brain damage from getting sucker punched.
Probably. I know he's going to get a check. I know he's going to get a good check from Masvidal. That's all I know.
Right. Yeah. The killer gorilla versus Adesanya.
That's a good one too, man. It all depends on the mentality of both fighters, you know. If Izzy pulling the Albert Duraev and he thinking this fight gonna be easy for real. Now you can say that, but if you really thinking that, we might see a new new champion. But Israel, you know how he playing to the cameras, you know what I'm saying? Like he's a master at it. But you know, if Jared goes in there with the mentality that he does with every fight, he could take it. And if Izzy is playing on words, it's going to be a good fight. And if he's got prepared for Jared Cannonier, it's going to be a good fight. But if he thinking it's going to be easy, he just might get finished. So it all depends on what his mentality is in this fight. You know,
Jared says he's broke. He's like, I'm broke.
And that's a dangerous fight. Boy, them ramen noodles, you know what I'm saying? The steak and potatoes, nigga.
Yeah.
The same shit every day. I'm telling you, man, that's a dangerous individual, bro, because they willing to do anything to change their life, you know, and Jared Cannonier definitely in that spot right now. And Izzy, he looking real comfortable having, you know what I'm saying, all these little, you know, endorsements, doing these movie deals, doing cartoon voiceovers. I mean, oh, he living his best life right now, you know what I mean? So, you know, yeah, that's a good fight, man. I can't wait. I'm going to be out there in Vegas. You going to be out there?
Yeah. I'm going to be there. I got a show all that week. Nice. Let me know if you ever want to do stand-up. You're actually a really funny person. I think you'd be
maybe one day. Maybe one.
I think you'd be great. I think you'd be great, honestly.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
But I can't thank you enough for coming on the show, man. And
thank you.
I hope you have a great week.
I appreciate you, Adam, for having me, man. Much love, bro. I'll see you out there.
You're the best.
All right.